safe above. Ransomed soul. Truly, that is the great hope that we cling to, that we would have eternal life with God in heaven. And Jesus speaks to us this morning in his gospel text about that very thing, about how you get to heaven. But before we turn to that, before we examine the scripture text, you might use this time to turn back in your Bibles to John chapter 3, because that's where we'll be going. But before we do that, I want to reflect again just for a moment on Memorial Day, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day that America sets aside to remember those men and women who have fallen for their country. The Americans will honor them and remember them, but many more will completely ignore that. They'll ignore the true meaning behind Memorial Day. And sadly, it's true, in our country today, there are still more who will denigrate the service of our fallen soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines. Well, whether they're honored or not, the truth of the matter is that these men and women have given everything, everything for our country. I was told one time, accurately, I believe, that when you enter the military service, you're giving your country a blank check. And you're telling the country that you'll pay whatever price is put in the blank. Even if that means I will pay everything that I have. Every soldier, sailor, marine, airman who enters the military service gives his country that blank check. He doesn't know what will happen. He doesn't know what wars will come up. He doesn't oftentimes even know what the grand purposes are, but he does know this. He will defend his country. I was on the Army's website a few years ago. The Army maintains all the national cemeteries in America and abroad where our soldiers are buried. And since the Revolutionary War, and the Army has kept track of every fallen soldier, sailor, and later airman and marine. And since the Revolutionary War, over 2 million men have died for our country. And most of them are young men around 19 years old. And these men and women, too, have paid a life's ransom for their country. 30 years, 40 years, some of them maybe even 60 years of life and the pursuit of happiness given to their country. And so all Americans are free. We live in a free country that someone else paid for with their lives. John Stuart Mill spoke to England in a difficult time in their history. John Stuart Mill wrote something I think is profoundly true. He wrote that war is an ugly thing, but it's not the ugliest of things. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling, which thinks that nothing is worth fighting for, is worse. Much worse. The person who has nothing for which he's willing to fight, nothing for which is more important than his own personal safety, that person is a miserable creature who has no chance of being free unless made so and kept so by better men. Truth is, all of us in America, whether we were born here or immigrated here, we enjoy freedom that others have paid for with their young lives. Some of the men here in our sanctuary today have also fought for their country. They fought for their country, and they also have paid a price. But by the grace of God, and we give thanks to God that you're with us here today. Tomorrow, however, we remember those who paid the full price, everything, so that America may be a free land. Now, there is a similarity, as I get back to the text, there's a similarity between our fallen dead and our Savior Jesus Christ, because he too gave the full measure of his life for mankind. Jesus, God with us, he lived a sinless life. He took your sins and my sins and the sins of all mankind on his shoulders, and he died on the cross so that every man's sin could be forgiven. The similarity ends there, however, because when we compare the citizenship in America against the citizenship in heaven, we see a great difference. There are Americans who could care less about our fallen dead, and some of them actually defame them, but they still retain their citizenship as Americans. Not so in God's kingdom. To enter God's kingdom, to enter heaven, you must appreciate what Jesus has done for you. And Jesus says, you must have new life. The Bible tells us that God gives new life to those who trust in Jesus. I want to return to this text, John 3, 1 through 6, and it's a short text. It's important to read it again. The Bible says there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Well, right off the bat, we need to recognize what's going on here, what's happening as Jesus talks to Nicodemus, because you see, Nicodemus is a very religious man. Nicodemus is a Pharisee among the Jews. This meant that Nicodemus believed in heaven. He believed in the whole Old Testament. He believed that he was going to get to heaven because he was keeping the commandments perfectly. Nicodemus was a conservative, religious man of his day. Well, Jesus has startling news for Nicodemus. He says, despite his belief in Scripture, despite his best endeavors to keep the commandments, the fact is, without God's intervention, Nicodemus is going to hell. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, and Jesus tells you, and Jesus tells me, that to become a citizen of heaven, first of all, you must be born again. But also, he tells us that God gives you this new life through faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, he tells us that God desires that you would be born again. You must be born again. This is the starting point of the conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. Knowing about Jesus is not enough. Being religious and belonging to the church is not enough. Jesus says this twice. You must be born again. Nicodemus was an elder of the old church, the Old Testament church. Nicodemus was one of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the 70 men who ruled all of Israel. He was probably in his late 50s or middle 60s, somewhere in there. He was a man of power and influence. And yet, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And the Bible uses that word very carefully. It's describing a kind of time, a quality of time. Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark. He wanted to keep his visit secret, you see. Even though it was early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus had already demonstrated his divine power and his authority in many ways. And the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the old church, the rulers of Israel, they had already taken note of Jesus. They began to know who he was. Look at verse 2. Nicodemus says to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." Now, you know, you and I might think that Jesus would take that as a compliment. Here Nicodemus comes to him, he says, "Teacher, we know that you come from God." But Jesus, he takes into account that, first of all, Nicodemus has come to him by night so that this visit can be a secret. And he takes into account, second of all, that Nicodemus is confessing that we know all about you. Jesus addresses the immediate problem. The very first words of Jesus' response addresses the fact that Nicodemus has not accepted Jesus, who is the Messiah and Savior. Nicodemus has not accepted in his heart that Jesus is God with us. In fact, the scriptures reveal throughout the New Testament that the leaders of the synagogue, they recognized every proof that Jesus was the Messiah, yet most did not receive him as Savior. John 12:42 says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in who Jesus was, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God." And you see, the problem is you can know about Jesus. You can know all about him. You can know the facts, the virgin birth, the great and mighty miracles, death on the cross, resurrection on the third day. You can know about all of these things and reason in your mind, "Well, he must have been God with us." And you can still not receive him as your own Savior. That night, Nicodemus was such a man. And so Jesus answers him in verse 3. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Dear friends, do you see that it mattered not that Nicodemus had been circumcised on the eighth day? It mattered not that Nicodemus had studied and worked hard to follow all the commandments. It mattered not that Nicodemus was a leader of his church. All that matters is that he would come to know and trust that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, That's the literal translation. I mean, the actual words are amen, amen. Truly, truly. And Jesus is saying this is absolutely true, which is a tough concept in our day. You know, we live in a time of relative truth. A little bit of this over here is true. Some of that might be true too. I'm going to pick and choose what I want to be true. Jesus says this is absolutely true. There are no exceptions. You must be born again. And what is true for Nicodemus is true for you and for me. Jesus says, I say to you. And when Jesus uses that expression, he's taking and revealing the full authority of God. When he says, truly, truly, this is absolutely true, I am speaking to you as God. God speaking with his full authority. You must be born again. Well, what does it mean to be born again? We better know. The Bible tells us that God gives you new life through faith in Jesus Christ. Born again, that's our English translation. It doesn't quite catch the true meaning. The literal meaning is you must be born from above. This is a new kind of birth. That's why Jesus says in verse 6, flesh begats flesh, spirit begats spirit. It's a new kind of birth. It's a spiritual birth. The Bible uses other words to describe this, by the way. Jesus himself uses the word conversion. You must be converted, he says in Matthew 18:3. And listen to this. Matthew 18:3, same manner of speaking. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible also says that regeneration describes the same event. Regeneration is when you take something that is dead and breathe new life into it. I'm not talking about a seed that you plant in the ground that sprouts. The Bible is talking about something that is dead, is regenerated. Titus 3:5 describes baptism as the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Born again, conversion, regeneration, all three words in the Bible describe a new kind of life, a changed life. And without this changed new life, you cannot enter heaven. Nicodemus' problem was not that he wasn't religious. It was that he didn't believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Being born again is simply this: receiving into your heart the truth that you are a condemned sinner, but that God has graciously forgiven your sins for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross. When you receive that into your heart, God creates new life in you. 1 Peter 1:23 says, you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Jesus says in verse 5, 6, and 8 that it's the Holy Spirit who works in your heart to create faith. And Jesus and the apostles testify that the Holy Spirit uses the living word of God. It's not your knowledge of Jesus that gives you new birth. The demons know who Jesus is. It's not your good works. It's not your religious life that regenerates your soul. No, it's the Holy Spirit using the Word of God, bringing you to faith that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You are born again the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you and be your Savior. in the church confuse being born again with sanctification, and these are very different things. Born again happens the moment you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You are saved the moment you confess your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior. But from that moment on, the Holy Spirit works in your life to change you through the Word of God so that you become more and more like Christ. The Holy Spirit works in your life to strengthen your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works in your life so that you may turn away from sin and defeat the temptations of the devil. That's called sanctification. You are made more like Christ every day through sanctification, but you are converted to new spiritual life the moment you believe. And there is immediate changes that occur when you're born again. And there are two of them. The first is called contrition, and the second is faith. And these come together. Before conversion, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, each one of us was a child of wrath, hating God, contemptuous of believers, following after the flesh, walking according to the course of this world. But Ephesians 2, 4 and 6 say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for you, whom he loved even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, he made you alive. Get that? That's the new birth. He made you alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So the first and immediate change that we see in a converted soul, a born-again believer, is that they no longer despise God. They love God. No longer take God's name in vain or Jesus' name in vain, but God's name and Jesus' name is precious to you. Second of all, because you love God, the born-again believer no longer desires to follow after the flesh, but desires to keep God's commandments. Now, we can't keep them perfectly, but the born-again believer has peace with God also through faith, because he or she knows their sins are forgiven. Jesus said in his very first words in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 1:15, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, that means turn away from sin, and believe the good news. Your sins are forgiven. God gives new life to those who trust in Jesus. And God desires that you would be born again. For 25 years now, George Barna has been America's leading statistician and Christian, keeping track of the Christian church in America. George Barna surveys. Everyone's heard of the Barna surveys. I cite them often in my ministry. He's been doing that for 25 years. His most recent survey on Christian faith in America shows that about 60% of all Christians, 60%, profess to be born-again Christians. That means that they want to turn away from sin and that they're trusting in Jesus and they're confident they're going to heaven because Christ died for them. Many still do not have a fully biblical worldview, but that is being taken care of day by day in their walk, their sanctification. On salvation, they're clear in their trust in Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that, but that still leaves 40% of the Christians who say they're not born-again Christians. And in fact, they despise that whole thing. I've got news for them. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian, and you're not saved. But God desires that you would be born again. He desires that each one would be born again. We must remember that this is not something that we earn. Being born again is not a reward for good living. Being born again is the regeneration of life and soul that God works in you when He brings you to faith. God is rich in mercy. He loves each one. He loved you from the beginning, before you were saved. And Jesus tells us that our earthly fathers, who naturally love their children, give them good things. And Jesus says in Luke 11:13, "How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask Him?" The question is, do you want to be born again? Because God will change you. But unless you are born again, regenerated to new life, converted as a little child, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, you will not enter heaven." As we remember Memorial Day, it's a sad thing. You don't have to be a flag waver, patriot, to be an American citizen. You don't have to appreciate what those brave men and women did as they gave their last and all for our country. But then again, America is only a temporary kingdom. God's kingdom is eternal. And He says only His children are citizens there. And He says He wants you there. God calls you to repent and believe the good news. Jesus died for you, and whoever believes in Him will not perish, but has eternal life. You are born again through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Because God gives new life to those who trust in Jesus. May His name be praised. In response,